Thanks for joining us for our look at the wineries and history of the Spring Mountain Appellation. It is my special pleasure to be joined right now by Christine and Carol Ballard, Ballard Family Vineyards. Christine, Carol, thanks so much for coming by.
You're welcome.
Let's begin by telling us a little bit about how Ballard Vineyards came to be. When did you buy the property? And given where you came from, why did you do this?
Wow. Well, it was what, 1990, and we were in a situation with our other house. We lived down on the trail.
And they wanted to widen the Silverado Trail.
Yeah,
which
the traffic was getting really bad, and so, well, you know, maybe we start looking around, and then we came up here, and the first time we came up here, there was about, I don't know, 8-10 inches of snow on the ground, and so we just climbed over the fence and went in there, and it was an old walnut orchard for most of it, and it reminded me of where I was from as a kid, Lake Tahoe, and it reminded Christina of Switzerland. So we both thought, hey, this is really pretty good. And it's only like a mile as the crow flies from our old house.
And what was the property like when you first saw it?
Well, there was about 15 acres of walnut trees, old walnut trees, most of which were not feeling too good. And there was a four-car garage. And that was it.
Tell us a little bit about the process of turning that into the vineyards we see today.
Well, we lived in a tent for the first summer we were there. And while we were redoing the house, the four-car garage, turning it into a house we could live in.
That's right. Well, it was a comfortable tent with a nice Persian rug in it and some good beds and nice sheets, because it was sort of hard to change from that nice cozy farmhouse to the top of the mountain, where it was sometimes very windy, into a tent. And I will remember forever the first night when we were all there and the wind flapped the tarp towards the poles, and we didn't talk, but it was so much in the air that we questioned whether we did the right thing.
And all these many years later, do you feel you did the right thing?
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Very lucky.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about what you planted, how much of it?
Well, we didn't want to mess with the forest. There's a beautiful forest on a portion of the land. So we slowly started to take out the walnut trees, which were not happy anyway, and replace it with vineyard. Christina was doing all that. I was still making films in those days.
Yeah.
Christina?
So I had a lot of help. I mean, I didn't do this alone, but I was certainly every day there and helped.
It's great that you had help, Christina, but how did you learn about winemaking, the vineyards, the business?
Yeah, that, you know, we moved up here and we had no intention of doing a vineyard. We just wanted to get out of the way in a place with less noise, no light pollution and all that. And I did, by coincidence, I ran into some neighbors who asked whether they could walk over our land, because there's not so much land where you can go for long walks, or it's all in private hands. So I said, of course. We started to talk, and the man and I have both roots in Switzerland. It was Philippe Tognier. And we went mushrooming together, and we made lovely risottos and drank his fantastic wine. And he started really to work on me and said, this is sinful to live on such a beautiful piece of land and don't do anything with it. So because of him, I went to the college in Napa and tried to learn as much as I could. And then one day we started. It's all his fault.
And all these many years later, what's there now? How many acres do you have planted? What kind of grapes?
We have 15 acres, and it's about 13 acres of Cabernet Sauvignon, 1 acre of Merlot, and 1 acre of Petit Verdot. And we have 4 more acres under production, not producing yet, but mm-hmm. we have planted it. And it will come in a little bit later, which is also mostly Cabernet Sauvignon and a little bit of Cabernet Franc. And the idea would be that in the future, when they're bearing, that we make a Bordeaux mixture. We make our wine now, and we make only 200 cases, is a Bordeaux-style wine, but it's mostly the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, with this great piece of property you have, is it open to the public? Can people come visit you?
No, we only take people by appointment. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's word of mouth and people who have been there or friends who send people, and that's how it is. Because we are not a winery, we fall a little bit mm-hmm. under a different type of regulations. So we sell our own wine mostly over the internet, and we do some events with the Spring Mountain Association, and that's about it.
And talk about your deeper relationship with Spring Mountain. How have you seen it change in all the years you've lived here, and is it still the place you envisioned when you first arrived?
Yeah, we see it changing if we go off the land. We see it changing on the road. The traffic is much heavier and faster. And
but
all
it's
that.
Still not that bad.
But when we are on our land, we feel nothing changed.
Yeah. It's it changed a lot. In 20-some years,
the trees
have grown enormously. And, you know, it has... It's just that it happens very slowly. You don't notice it so much.
Explain where exactly on Spring Mountain your property is.
There are 3 tops to Spring Mountain. One is Paloma. One is, belongs to Fritz Maytag. And the other is us. And they're all...
And Pride?
Pride is quite a bit lower than this.
Okay.
And they're all just right here in proximity. If you look out the window here, you'll see our place right there.
And are there any big plans for the future? Anything you want to do differently? Anything you want to expand? You mentioned before we started recording this that the name could even change in the future.
Well, it will be just a sort of a name for the vineyard.
Yeah, there's an old apple tree over there from some people who lived there a long time ago. And it's a rare old apple from the East Coast called the Westfield Seek No Further apple. It's a great apple. And the old tree is still hanging in there.
It's enormous for an apple tree. And when it is in bloom, it's always the first thing which blooms, and it sort of feels like it invites all the other plants to waking up and doing their thing.
So we think that would make a good name for the vineyard, because it indeed is, for us, a seek no further situation. We certainly don't feel like we can go anywhere that's going to be any nicer than this.
Well, I thank you for sharing some of your story with us. Christine and Carol Ballard, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Our pleasure.
Thank you.